Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to you, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up, I'm so double-minded. A pink-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I showed up Tuesday to Bible study, and I walked in and I said, good afternoon, Pastor. And he said, would you like to preach on Sunday? And I'm like, sure. I said, what do you want me to talk on? And he said, healing grace. And I'm like, okay. So we talked about grace last week a little bit, but what else did we talk about? Guilt. We talked about guilt. And Pastor tied it in with grace, how when we feel guilty, we can give that to God, and God will take it away. We can get rid of the guilt that we have, because what is grace? Unmerited favor. Grace from God is unmerited favor. It is kindness from God we don't deserve. There is nothing we can do, nor can we ever do to earn this favor. It is a gift from God. Grace is divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. A virtue from God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine favor. So we don't deserve grace, but God gives it to us. And why does he give it to us? Because he loves us. And he gives it, it's grace, so that we can't earn it. If we earned it, we would brag about it. How many people brag about what they've done? I do. A preacher explained it once this way. It's an acronym, if I could say that. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Think about that for a minute. God's riches at Christ's expense. How many of us believe that God sent Jesus to die for our sins so we can be in right relationship with him? Do I have to go through Karina to get to God? Do I have to go through Lee to get to God? Do I have to go through Chris to get to God? Do I have to go through my bishop to get to God? Do I have to go to a priest or anybody to get to God? Do we really believe that, though? Do we really have that relationship with Jesus? Or do we just say, yeah, we have it? Do we go to God every day and say, what a great day? Do we go to God every day and say, I need help today. I can't do this without you. I don't. I wish I was better at it, but I don't do it every day. I'm busy. Well, I need to remember, being busy doesn't mean that I don't have a conversation with God when I'm driving down the road or when I'm walking. I walk from building to building these days, and I've been known to go pray on the way down there. Before, I wouldn't think about that. I would just walk. I was in a hurry. I had to get to where I needed to go. So what is healing? Healing really literally means to make whole. Mind, body, and spirit. Is healing important? How many of us have aches and pains? How many of us think about those aches and pains all the time? How many of us can take it to God and not have to think about that anymore? I'm going to talk about more, a little bit more about healing. I'm going to share all the scriptures that are on, will be on the slides right now, and then I'll go into more of what I want to tell you what the Band-Aids are for. In Matthew 8, 1 through 3, it says, Jesus came down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came, knelt before him, and said, Lord, if you are willing, will you make me clean? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. If you remember the story of Jesus, every time he went somewhere, he had crowds around him. He was walking down the road, and the leper, the guy that had leprosy, was walking towards him. He was an outcast. He was out. So he actually walked to Jesus and said, if you're willing, make me clean. And he made him clean. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed with a word, with a touch. Just being in his presence, people were healed. Matthew 8:8 says, the centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. How many of us feel that we're not worthy to have Jesus under our roof? Why aren't we worthy? Why do we feel that we're not worthy? Matthew 9:18-19 says, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. This is one of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 9:20-22. And it's probably because I'm a woman. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. How long did that woman suffer? 12 years. She'd went to every doctor. She had depleted her finances. She had just heard about Jesus. We're all blessed to know that we have the Bible, can read all these wonderful healings in the Bible. Do they apply to us today? Do we really think they apply to us today? Think about that. We should, exactly. Pastor six or seven years ago gave us what they call healing confessions. I don't know how many people I've passed these healing confessions on to through email. But I was thinking, when I was thinking about talking today, I was thinking about how healing affects each of us. So we decided that one day that when we got those scriptures, that we would read them every day on the way to work. And we did it for months and months, probably a year at least, when you could see. When it was light outside, when it was dark, it was really hard to read, so we didn't really do that. But we started out, and this is the first one on that healing confession. I'd like to read it. Start the day with God. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I start every day with God by speaking life, health, and strength, and vitality into my body because I know God's healing power is at work within me. The nature and life of God are resident in my body, driving out all manners of sickness and disease. I am strong in the Lord and mighty and in the power of his might. I believe the word of God above all, about anything that I think, feel, or see. His word says that I have been redeemed from the curse of sickness. His word says, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. My body is free from pain, sickness, and disease. It operates effectively and efficiently, free from malfunction of any kind. Every part of my body is functioning properly. Every organ and gland and system is operating in conjunction with each other in perfect harmony, which is exactly how God designed my body to work. My immune system is strong, vibrant, and healthy, Germs, bacteria, and viruses and parasites cannot exist in my body. If any sickness or disease makes any attempt to try and attack my body, then it is quickly destroyed by the power of God's word working in me. I boldly declare I am healed, healthy, and whole. What if you read that every day for a year? You would absolutely feel better. You wouldn't think about, oh, I don't feel good today. Oh, I don't want to get up and go to work today. Because you have God's word working in you. Whether you know it or not, whether you think, I read scriptures off and on all the time, and some come right back to me, like, be still and know I am God. That's one of my favorite scriptures also. Be still and know. Well, how do I know? Just be still. Be still. Faith. How do we have faith? Who has faith? Everybody has faith, at least a measure. Even if it's a little mustard seed, God gave us all that measure of faith. It's what we do with that measure. There's also scriptures that go with this, the healing confessions. Psalms 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, which is sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. If we write that scripture and hang it up on our mirror every day and look at it, how could you not know that you are healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet? God gave us that in the scriptures. It's a promise. We are promised by Jesus' stripes we are healed. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. How do we be strong in the Lord? Pray. Talk to him. Talk to people that will encourage us and uplift us. Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus redeemed us from our curse by the law, by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. He wasn't cursed. He was sent to die for each of us. You're set free because of that. As I was reading, I was reading in a book called Healing from Smith Wigglesworth, and he relayed a story about how he'd went on a mountaintop. How many of us have been on a mountaintop and prayed? He'd been on a mountaintop and he was praying, and God told him that he would raise Lazarus. How many of us has raised a Lazarus? Not yet. So he went down and he was talking to this group of people and he said, God told me I was supposed to heal Lazarus. And they told him of a story of a guy, of a leader in a church who had been working in a tin mine, and he had went to, and he'd been preaching at night, and he ended up getting tuberculosis. And for a year, he had laid in bed, and he couldn't move, and he couldn't do anything else. And in that year, somebody had been sent to pray over him. Well, of course, he didn't see instant healing, so he thought, well, it's never going to happen. Nothing's going to happen, so I'm just going to lay here and die. Smith Wigglesworth was talking. He had a companion with him, and him and his companion were talking to another couple that was in this place, and he said that he told them, we need to find 7 people so we can go pray for this man. And they're like, I don't know where we can find 7 people. He's like, how many of you people will pray? He said, us 2 and you 2, and then we just need 3 more. And he was like, okay. And so he said, God, we need at least 7 people to go pray for this man. So he Wigglesworth said, I'm just going to go up. I'm not going to eat anything. I'll just go up and I'll fast and I'll pray and I'll go to bed. Well, in the middle of the night, he was fasting and praying. He was sleeping and he felt sick like the guy that had tuberculosis. And he said, so he got on his knees and he prayed and he yelled and he said he woke up the whole house, but nobody was affected by it. And he went back to bed, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, God told him, it's time to raise Lazarus. So he nudged the guy that was staying with him, and he said, we need to go pray for this guy. And so at 8 o'clock in the morning, they went to this guy's house. And they went up, and he said, okay, we're going to go. And he said, he instructed one guy to hold the guy's hand, and the rest of them circled around the bed and held hands. And he said, we're not going to pray. We're just going to say the name of Jesus. So they chanted the name of Jesus. Why do you think they chanted the name of Jesus? Exactly. The authority and power is in the name of Jesus. So if we're praying for people, or if you're praying for yourself, just say the name of Jesus. And then he said it took him about, he said the spirit fell on him and about six times. And on the seventh time, he told the guy, he said, you can be healed if you will just accept it and say, I will be healed. So on the seventh time, the guy got healed. He sent everybody else downstairs. And he waited for the guy to walk down the stairs with him. And he said in the story, he said, I never told God I would never share this story. I wanted the guy to share the story because it's not about me. It's about you, God. So when we're praying for people, all we have to do is say in Jesus' name or the name of Jesus. But we have to also accept that healing and know that God's going to heal us. The other thing about that was I was thinking is prayer. What is what Matthew 7:7-8 says? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and anyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. We can ask. We can seek. We can knock. What's the physical thing that we have to do? We have to open the door. You want a relationship with Jesus? Relationship with God? We have to open that door of communication with them so that he knows that we are really serious about what he wants. I found this really cool story. It's called The Best and Favorite Teacher. There's a story many years ago about an elementary school teacher. Her name was Mrs. Thompson, and as she stood in front of her fifth grade class on the first day of school, she told the children a lie. Like most teachers, she looked at her students and told them she loved them all the same. But this was impossible because there in the front row, slumped in his seat, was a little boy named Teddy Stoddard. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and noticed that he didn't play well with other children. His clothes were messy, and he was constantly needing a bath. And Teddy could be unpleasant. It got to the point where Mrs. Thompson could almost take delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, marking bold X's and putting big F's on the top of his paper. At the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, she was required to review each of the child's past reports, and she put Teddy's off until last. However, when she received his file, she was surprised. She was in for a surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." The second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy's an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle." His third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest, and his home life will soon affect him if some steps aren't taken." His fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends and sometimes sleeps in class." Now, Mrs. Thompson realized the problem and was ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students brought her Christmas presents that were wrapped in beautiful ribbon and bright paper, except Teddy. His present was clumsily wrapped in dark brown paper he had got from the grocery store. Mrs. Thompson took the pain to open it in the middle of the other presents. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing, a bottle that was 1/4 full of perfume. Then she stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed how pretty the bracelet was and put it on and dabbed some of the perfume on her wrist. Teddy's daughter stayed after class that day just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, you smell just like my mom used to." After the children left, she cried at least an hour. On that very day, she quit teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. Instead, she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in the class, and despite her lie that she would love all of the children the same, Teddy became one of her teacher's pets. A year later, she found a note under her door from Teddy telling her that she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. 6 years went by before she got another note from Teddy. He wrote that he had finished high school 3rd in his class, and she was still the best teacher he had had in his whole life. 4 years after that, she'd got another letter saying that while things had been tough at times, he had stayed in school and stuck with it, and soon would graduate from college with the highest of honors. He assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still the best and his favorite teacher he'd had in his whole life. Then 4 years had passed, and yet another letter came. This time, it explained that he had got his bachelor's degree and decided to go a little further. The letter explained that she was still his favorite and best teacher, but now his name was a little longer. The letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. The story doesn't end there, you see. There's another letter. That spring, Teddy said that he'd met a girl and was going to be married. He explained that his father had died a couple years ago and was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit in the place at the wedding where that was usually reserved for his mother, the mother of the groom. Of course, Mrs. Thompson did, and guess what? She wore the bracelet, one with the several rhinestones missing, and she made sure that she wore the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on their last Christmas together. They hugged each other, and Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you, Mrs. Thompson, for believing in me. Thank you so much for making me feel important and showing me I could make a difference." Mrs. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back. She said, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You are the one who taught me that I could make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you." You read the scriptures, Jesus taught us one step at a time how to love each other, how to accept each other. In Matthew 18:3, it says, "He said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." How do we change? One day, one single minute at a time. Sometimes it's not easy to change. But we have to be healed first. How do we get healed? If you don't have a Band-Aid, I'll give you one. was going to bed last night, and I had put a lot of this stuff together, and I told Karina, we need Band-Aids, and she's like, so she brings me a Band-Aid into the bedroom, and I'm like, no, I need Band-Aids for church tomorrow. She's like, all right. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, how many of us have a Band-Aid? Asked Karina, I said, how many times did your mom give you a Band-Aid and make it all better? How many times do we put a Band-Aid on and never take it off? If you feel that love from your family and from Jesus, and you put that Band-Aid on thinking it's going to get healed, and then you take it off and it's healed, and you just go on with life, do you realize that you're healed? But if you put that Band-Aid on and never take it off because you're so still hurt and broken and thinking that you're never going to get healed, then you're missing something. You're missing God's love for you. So everybody has a Band-Aid. You get to choose what kind of Band-Aid it is. Are you going to pull it off and look at it and say, oh, I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus. Are you going to leave that Band-Aid on and go, oh, it's your fault, or it's your fault, or you didn't do this, or I didn't do this. Sometimes when we get so involved in ourselves, we blame other people for what's not going on in our lives. My favorite story is of myself. The job was mine. I was angry and mad. Karina was done. I walked in this church 8 years ago. The Band-Aid came off. I was open. It was a big open wound when I came into this church. A big open wound. First thing that I remember Pastor saying was, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. Wow, you mean I can talk to God? Instead of just talking about God, I can talk to God and know that He's going to heal my heart and my soul, and I can share that with other people. We're all on our own walk. We all have Band-Aids because we're human. We all have Band-Aids. Let's start taking those Band-Aids off and let Jesus heal them, because by His stripes we are healed. Luke 18:14 through 18 says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. Then the disciples saw this. They rebuked them because Jesus called the children to him and said, let little children come to me. Don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who has not received the kingdom of God like a little children will never enter it. We have grace. It's unmerited favor. We have favor every day with God. Every day is new. Whatever you did yesterday, you've asked for forgiveness, let it go. Let God take care of it. Every day is new. We have unmerited favor through the grace of Jesus Christ. And we can all be healed. Healing grace. God loves us all so much. He wants us to be happy. Oh, I can't be happy. I stubbed my toe. Oh, I can't be happy. I had to do a presentation on Friday, and I have to do another one tomorrow. And this was mixed in the middle. Woohoo! I have unmerited favor with God. Because I would never think that, because a lot of times we think that we need to do it by ourselves. We forget that we need to have God right there walking with us. Even though He is, we need to realize that He's walking with us every step of the way. Everyone in here has unmerited favor, which is grace. Everyone in here is loved unconditionally by God. He doesn't have any favorites. He loves each and every one of us the same. No, I'm His favorite. I tell Karina that all the time. I'm His favorite. Or I'll say, you're His favorite. Because when stuff happens, it happens. Some stuff happens for good and some stuff happens for bad. How do you deal with it? Do you deal with it with anger, or you just go, okay, that happened, we'll just deal with it and just move on? The person who would have before walked into this congregation 8 years ago would have went, flying off the handle. Now we laugh about it. Because what else can you do? God's going to take care of it no matter what. I just know that now. I pray that every one of you in here realizes that you have grace, and it's amazing. You have a Savior that loves you, and it's amazing if you let him love you. He heals each and every one of you every day, whether you realize it or not. Let him do that. Let him heal your heart. Let him heal your pain. Let him heal your body. Let him heal your mind. He loves every one of us. And he wants us to be happy. And he wants us to be working together as a congregation and as people in Christ. He wants us to be able to just share what we know. How do I know God loves me? I have her. But before I had her, I had the Holy Spirit that told me every day. Did I listen? Not usually. Is it hard to hear God's voice? Because he doesn't yell. He whispers. He whispers to each of us. Unless you haven't listened, and then he'll eventually tell you a little bit louder. And that's okay, because eventually we get it. We're just those humans that have to hit our head against the wall two or three times, and then we'll get there. Healing grace. I pray, Lord, that you heal each and every person in this room, that the band-aids come off, or if the band-aids need to go on for a while, that they go on. I thank you, Lord, that you just continue to love each and every one in this room and in this congregation. And, Lord, we ask that you protect Pastor and Scott as they travel. We're thankful, Lord, for the pastor that we have and for the love that he gives to each of us. We're thankful, Lord, for the Word of God that we can read and know the promises and know the stories and know the people in that just had such great favor because they trusted you. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn from the mistakes of the past, that we can let them go. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have in 2 weeks to realize that Christ was resurrected for each and every one of us, that the curtain was broken from the top to the bottom, that we can have a relationship with you. But Lord, we thank you that we don't have to wait for 2 weeks, that we know that now, and that we get it into our spirits, and that you teach us every day to listen to your voice. Thank you, Lord, for the love that just continues to flow through each of us. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are good, and your love endures forever. You are good, you are good, and your love forever.